Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me a fantastic man in the Blockchain 3 space. His name is Arvin, and it's Campshay. Did I get it right?
It's Campshay, but yeah.
Campshay. And listen, we were just chatting before. He's in Vancouver. He's in a cool area. We just were talking about how really Vancouver is blowing up in Web3. But really, there's, in my opinion, no place that's not. Arvin, today I was just searching for Metaverse on the internet, and it was just announced that Epic Games partnered with Lego to invest $2 billion in the Metaverse. Wow. So when people say, it's just a fad, I'm kind of like, let's see where the money's going. But why do you think Web3 is blowing up so much?
So Web3 is providing solutions to a lot of problems that we don't have any other solutions for. Let's say if I'm an artist and I sell you my art to you for $5 because maybe I don't know better or I'm not famous yet. 10 years later, I become really famous and my art actually worth $1 million. But you own that and you bought it for $5. So I, as an artist, in the like previous to Web3 world, I would get zero credit for that.
Whoa. You could,
and then now I can actually, for the rest of my life, if you start selling it to anyone for any price, for the rest of my life, I will be getting credits, meaning royalties, anywhere from 3 to 10%, sometimes even higher than that. So that's like one of the many, many use cases, right? And there are plenty of these problems that we have for creators, for authors, for artists, and we just never had any other solutions for it. So another one is, like, for example, let's say the authenticity. So like in the fashion industry, let's say if you buy a Rolex, or like if you, let's say buying a Gucci, like let's say bag, right? Or Prada. There is a ton of fake products out there. In fact, one of the largest providers, like distributors for like authentic designer clothing in New York City, they were caught a few years ago for actually providing fake to people, and providing fake bags for thousands and thousands of dollars, not like cheap, right? So we're talking, a lot of money for it. And because no one can tell what's the true, form of an art, a piece of clothing, versus not true, right? So the authentication is missing. Now, in the Web3, you can have an NFT accompanying specific, let's say, whether it be like Rolex or a bag or whatever you have. And you can now be sure that whoever created it, you know exactly when that was created. It's all in the blockchain of things. And you know where it was sold, who it was sold to, and you can fairly quickly authenticate things, right? So that's really a big deal.
Wow.
And so when people say, and there's many, many other use cases too, but like, I mean, I can keep talking about this, but
keep talking because you tend to take the complexity and make it really simple. And I think that that's something our audience at times is missing. They kind of just hear, a Bored Ape sold for $400,000. And they're like, what does it have to do with my life? But but I've never heard the illustration that if you're an artist or even an author, which a lot of our people are, and you're not famous yet, you could almost write a book, you could sign the book, and someone buys it for $15. But like you're saying, you all of a sudden one day become J.K. Rowling or something, and that book is now huge. But you're right, as an author, you just lost out. But now the digital version, and let's face it, it's not just one royalty. If that thing gets passed around 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, not only do you get money, but I mean, you set it up the right way, your trust for generations. I mean, Picasso, Van Gogh. I mean, if you're a relative of one of these people, you know, it's a lot easier if it's all tied to the blockchain.
100%, 100%. And that's really a big deal. And that's what people, when they say, oh, like NFT is going to go away, I'm like, how are you going to solve these problems?
Yes.
Right? So it's not just the expensive JPEGs that like allows you to be some, you know, in some yes. cool yacht club and like, you know, go to some cool restaurants and just show off your NFTs on maybe even like your jacket in the metaverse and be like, here are the NFTs that I have. So that's cool. Yes. But I think that's what's commonly known to people as NFTs right now. It's like when they search it, and that's like, that's the trouble with always with the media. It's like, it's always just about like entertainment, right? It's never about actual information. And so people have a very distorted image of what NFTs actually are, right? So another use case of this is like, if you think about...
I'm going to write this down, by the way, because what I do forever and ever and ever, I'm going to credit you with this. I like to take your illustrations and then I form it into an acrostic or acronym. One thing you have is royalties. The other one you have is authenticity. So that's RA. So now keep going. I'm going to get my pen so I can write this down.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, I'm ready.
Another one is storing information. So for example, athletes, they have their health information that if it gets leaked, it will be detrimental to their entire career, right?
Like maybe that they've had a surgery or that they're struggling with a condition.
And so that information has to be somewhere. Where are you going to keep it? Like in an email? Like what are you going to do with it?
So would you call that private information?
Yeah, privacy and storing information, right?
Okay.
So it's somewhere, and it's definitely somewhere, you know, because it's in the blockchain. But you know, who has access to it? That's the important part. And then, those are three so far. Oh, another one is let's say, you know, I mean, one thing that a lot of people are now thinking. It's a use case, but it's not like maybe one of the biggest ones. It's like also like, okay, accessibility to investing. So a lot of people, let's say in the past, traditionally in Web 2, people wouldn't even get to investing because they thought, you know, it's not for them, right? Versus Web 3, you can even get a free NFT right now. Go online on Twitter, type out free NFTs. You're going to find some brands that are going to give you free NFTs. Just pay for the gas. And then now you're practically started investing, right? So now you have invested in art. So accessibility. So trading comes with it too, of course, like, you know, trading NFTs, making millions of dollars. A lot of people do that. And will that stay all the time? I don't know. Maybe not. But definitely the accessibility to the actual investments.
And I like accessibility too, because... Yeah. Let's say you want to get accessibility to an influencer. A lot of these NFTs will create off-chain benefits so that you buy the NFT, you can also get access to that. You know, like Gary Vee created, you get to VCon. Go bowling with me. Yeah. Like you get to...
I'm a VCon holder.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so... that's actually, so you talked about authors earlier on. So for example, authors now, they get to do this where they can create, let's say, for example, hidden chapters of their book. And if you own the NFT, or like, let's say you get access to all their books, or maybe an audible version that's just done by the author itself, versus like, you know, a company does it. Meet and greet with the author or celebrity, influencer, whatever that is, right? So these are like some cool things. Another big, big problem that again NFTs solve, and we have zero other solution for it, is the community building for the aspect of community building for again authors, influencers, creators. So in the past, let's say if you're a music artist and let's say you wanted to distribute your track, you would have to go to a track, like a record company, right? So you would give probably a big portion of your revenue, profits, revenue, and then they would have all sorts of means of creating communities for you, and then they would distribute your tracks. So essentially, you would just be an artist. You would create music, and they would take a probably big portion of everything you do. Plus, they would have control over your entire life, because if you don't do what they want you to do, or they think it's going to do well for their audience, then you know, they just kick you out. So now with NFTs, the way this is actually solving this problem is that you actually cut that middleman. And I'm not saying you should cut middleman in every aspect, but it's just you have the option at least, right? So, and this goes with the authors as well. Again, publications out there, like, they want to take a percentage of what you do, and they will dictate like when you actually need to release it, how you need to record things, how to edit it, so on and so forth. But now, you can, in 4 to 6 weeks, you can build a community of like 80,000 people around your art. Wow. And now you have control as an artist. So you can do whatever you want with that community. You can publish a book for them. You can, you know, do a soundtrack, many, many things. And so you're actually closer to your community, which means you don't have to like be influenced by anyone else except just your own liking and your, you know, what you really want to do in this world. No one's going to tell you like how to do it or when to do it or what to do. So that's really cool, the freedom for artists. And then also now you can actually make more money as an artist too, because you don't have to give it away. Like, whenever you want to publish something, distribute something, you just distribute it to your fans. And that's the fact that they're so close to you. It just allows for a better actual partnership with your fans as well, because they tell you what they want. And then
watch this. Here's what I got. You ready? This is crazy, man.
Yeah.
So I put down, I just threw one up myself, protection, meaning intellectual property.
Right.
Right. So like in the past, every book on planet Earth has an ISBN number.
Yep.
And I have to go through the right channels to protect my IP. Yep. So we got protection. We got distribution. You shared that. Community. I put bonuses, you know, like the bonus chapter.
Yeah.
Royalties.
Yeah.
I put authenticity. Remember that? Like the Gucci bag. Privacy, like the athlete. And access, like to the influencer with the option.
Yeah.
So that's 8 right there that you just came up with like that. You think we can get to 10?
Maybe.
All right.
So like, I think another aspects of, I guess, another cool aspects of actually NFTs is, you know, so there's a lot of community features, like, so DAO, for example.
Oh, yeah. Decentralized Autonomous Organization.
Yeah. So the DAO, the play to earn aspect of games, for example. So in the past, we had games in the past. The games are not new, obviously, right? But we even had play to earn games, but not in the form that we have it right now. So now it's very socially driven activity. So it benefits others. So I guess for someone who doesn't play games, if they want to understand this, previously, if you were to play a game, if you were more skilled, you would get rewarded for having more skills. Now, in the new version of things, you get more rewarded for doing something socially with others. So as a team, what you do or what you do for your other team members, and you still have to, you know, play the game and do everything in the game, but things have changed, right? So now this new aspect of things, again, these concepts are very complex concept, which you cannot do any other way except with NFTs. Again, for example,
so are you saying, because I know there's a couple angles you could go. One is the NFT creates participation in the DAO,
just community driven things. Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And we could say that that's even a new category called governance.
Right.
Because now you don't have to wait for the man or the committee to decide the rules, but as a holder, you can influence governments.
Right.
Okay, so that's one. And then are you saying this play to earn concept? I mean, not only did you bring up, like, for example, Axie Infinity, where you can now create jobs.
Right.
I mean, there's that whole, you know, now we can create
in jobs. In the metaverse, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. What about, now we're at 11. What about the whole one about, I think you were saying it, but you earn things and now you don't just have to keep them in the game. Swords, shoes, avatars. Now you can interoperability.
Yeah. You can have specific assets of the game. In the form of an NFT. And then take it out, loan it to someone else. They could use your, let's say you build up a character. It has like a lot of experience now, very skilled. Maybe it's like, you know, you went up to level 10, 20 with it. Now you can give it to someone else. They can play it. Mm. But they have to pay you.
Yes.
For them to play it. Right. So now, speaking of that, everything in the metaverse that we're going into, right. Everything is in the form of an NFT. So yes. Your car, your handbag, your whatever you do, like it's going to be in the form of NFT. So again, when people say like, oh, NFTs may go away, it's like probably won't.
No, because what else are you going to? Yeah. Like you said, you started out by saying, oh, this is so good. You said NFTs solve problems that nothing else can.
Yeah.
Okay, one last one because we're at 11. We got to get to 12. All right.
I was thinking
of one, but can you tell me how to name this? Okay, so you have you go buy a real car.
Yeah.
And they issue you the car, but they instead of a title, they issue you an NFT.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So would we call this ownership? Like,
yeah, it's just the new contracts, right?
Contracts.
So, yeah.
Contracts.
Yeah. And that's actually going to be huge. Like the legality of things in the past, who would know who did what, right? But now everything is in the blockchain. So the transparency it is beyond what we ever experience as humans. We could never get to this level of transparency to the level that we can have with blockchain.
Now you're at 13.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many more.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we just like whatever comes to mind, right? But there's so many of these. And 13. So with all of that, if people thinking, you know, it's gonna go away, again, like look at like all these large companies that they're rolling out NFTs as a part of their business, right? So Adidas, Forbes, Sony, Samsung, Atari. Like all sorts of large businesses. Again, not all of them are just like, you know, jumping in the next fad. If you guys know, like these big companies, they know what they're doing. Exactly. And so, yeah, and they already bought so much land. I actually happen to know some of these like large companies, they already have their ads set up to go out in a few months on LinkedIn. And so they're going to do awareness ads to ordinary people who don't know anything about NFTs. Tell them about NFTs first, and then roll out, say, hey, this is part of our business that's going to come through NFTs.
You got to tell us what do you do? Because now everyone's like, dang, you're super smart. And now you have ties to big companies. What is your business model?
Yeah. So I have, what I do is actually I help growing community, like I help essentially NFT brands grow communities around their brand, and then sell out their NFTs, and then once they sold out, increase the floor price of their NFT. And so that's what I do in a nutshell. But as far as like information that I have that like some people may not have, it's just because of the agency partnership I have with a lot of these social media platforms, I get to see some internal data that not everyone else sees. And that's because I've just spent, you know, so prior to the NFT world, in the Web2, I was managing investor relationship marketing for public companies. And I would spend, you know, somewhere close to like $500K a month advertising spending for them to find investors, so short-term and long-term investors online. So a lot of that knowledge, I just brought it into the Web3 as far as finding investors for NFTs.
Well, we're going to go 5 more minutes and then I'm going to talk to you privately because I have an idea. I have an idea, man. But first of all, where can people find out about you? You've just blown everyone's mind. And in fact, I'm going to quote you in my new book. I got a new book called Blockchain Life. And I'm going to quote you with this list of 13. And we'll reference the episode and everything. But yeah, give us your website.
Perfect. Yeah. So if people want to see any case studies of like how these brands that I've worked with, we grew their community to, you know, large communities in 4 to 6 weeks and then sold out to make anywhere from, you know, $500,000 to a few million dollars in that 6 weeks of selling out NFT brands. I have case studies on like exactly how we've done that. And that's on soldoutnfts.io. So that's soldnfts.io. And then on all socials, Arvin K NFT. So ARVINKNFT. So Arvin K NFT on all socials. They can find me. And on Twitter, I would say I'm most responsive.
That's so good. Tell me why you chose .io. As an extension, because I 100% agree with you, but tell me why you chose that.
Actually, that's like a thing in Web3. So a lot of, if you actually notice, like a lot of brands in the Web3.
Autograph.io, Etherscan.io, OpenSea.io.
Exactly. So we just went, I think it's just a, for me, kind of, I was like, okay, if everyone's going that, in that trend, we just got to adapt and do that. But I'm sure, you know, it's also like, as far as like, you know, versus .com, I think .com was the Web 2.
Oh my gosh, I agree with you.
Yeah. So we're trying to distinguish ourselves in a way. So
totally agree with you.
Yeah.
What do you think about .xyz as well? Do you think that's
pretty I've seen that. Yeah. Like there's a premen.xyz, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think those two. You know, I get the whole .eth and all that, but to me, that's a big jump to get people to start going to digital wallets. I think what's going to happen first is .ios are going to blow up and .xyz's, and then eventually people will kind of be like the Wild West.
100%. Yeah. It's all coming.
Yeah. Just that's way. Good. Well, listen, man, you blew our minds. What else would you like my audience to know? Because I want to spend our last 10 minutes offline because I got to show you a couple quick crazy things.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I think so I've actually gotten to see the NFT community changing. Okay. So back in, I would say 2021, there was a lot of trust in everything that NFT brands were doing. I would say even too much trust. So everyone would come in and buy everything that was for sale as far as NFTs. Now, about a year later, we're actually in a point where we're the exact opposite. Now, if you say hello, everyone's going to say this is going to be a rug pull brand. Now we're complete opposite. Like it's a very skeptic market.
Yes.
And so now, again, for people who need to actually create things in this Web3, they just got to be mindful of that to just see, like, just know what the vibe is, what the current vibe is, and then really adapt to that. So meaning if they need to get, like, let's say blue check verifications on their socials, if they need to actually show themselves more, they need to just build trust.
Transparency.
Yeah. Show like what they do, how they do it.
Create real value, not just art.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so now, and then also the way we do things has changed like significantly. So in the past, and if someone actually goes on like, let's say iTunes or like YouTube, just look me up and just see what some of the other shows or podcasts I've been on, I would be just telling them, hey, grow your Discord, grow your Twitter, And then some of those people would buy your NFTs essentially. Like that was the, on a high level, that's literally what we would do. Yeah. But now that has changed. So there are so many Discord servers. And by the way, for people who may not know what Discord is, so Discord is just like WhatsApp or Telegram, any other social media platforms like that. But it's chosen by the Web3 community because it has a lot of community-driven features. So you can actually manage communities better on Discord versus other platforms. And it doesn't have ads, so that's nice. But so anyways, we used to do that, and then now we don't do it. Now what we do, we actually gain a lot of commitment from people. So we actually... We ask people, so
like whitelist,
exactly. So, and for someone who doesn't know what whitelist is, that's essentially, you know, as a whitelist, you would give your, wallet address to, the person who is just developing the smart contract. And then, so your wallet address will be on the smart contract and you'll be pre-approved to buy the NFT at an earlier date than other people. Or any other conditions that they would do. So that's what whitelisting is. Now, so what has changed now is just what we do is completely focusing on just whitelisting. So everything is about exclusivity now, essentially. So we just only want people who already committed. Yeah, pre-approved, already committed to come on our Discord servers.
Perfect.
That's a huge change from like what it was last year. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Arvin, this was amazing. Folks, check him out. Soldoutnfts.io, Arvin K NFT all over the place, and especially on Twitter. And then he's been on a lot of shows. Check him out and do some business with him. And I'm gonna might do some business with him right now. All right. So take care, Arvin. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.